Federal agencies have adopted mobile computing with the same fervor as the private sector, yet securing smartphones and tablets is still a challenge for so many agencies. Federal security experts are still trying to find the right balance between mobile access and security of data and applications. Now, the Defense Department may have the answer for many of these challenges. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with the latest on how DOD and others are taking on the quest for mobility and security. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Now, the DOD says it might have the answer for the ongoing mobile and security challenges. Why does it think that?
Yeah, I think they found the golden cup, the fountain of youth when it comes to this. This is something, the Pentagon has a history of really being ahead of other agencies when it comes to these smart identity cards, their common access card, the CAC card, and as well as mobility. I mean, DOD really was the first one with the BlackBerry and other devices. But what has stymied DOD over the years is combining those two technologies, kind of the mobility and the smart card. Richard Hale is DOD's Deputy Chief Information Officer for Cybersecurity. He says DOD may have broken through that long-time roadblock to meet users' need for mobile devices and DOD's requirements for cybersecurity.
DOD is committed heart and soul to using cryptographic identity credentials that don't have the problems that passwords have. So, the public key infrastructure credentials we use on the CAC card are, our first example of that. As we move to the mobile devices, we are going to put that credential onto the mobile device directly. We won't have a separate CAC card reader or something like that. We have three pilots that have shown that this can be done, we believe, in a secure way. There are some security issues still in the business of getting those credentials onto the devices that we're still working through. So we don't yet have a formal program to put an issuance infrastructure in place. But I believe within the next couple of months, we'll make a decision that we have a particular path to credential issuance, and then we will put a program up and start doing it before, I'll make a bold prediction, before the end of the calendar year. We will be issuing derived credentials in a production way on mobile devices.
It seems that Android is the most likely approach that I've seen from other agencies who are looking at this. Is that the path you're going down, or is that not decided yet?
So we're looking at essentially all the big mobile vendors and the BlackBerry, owing to the broad deployment of BlackBerry, but also, so we're looking at iOS, Android, and Microsoft. We will probably roll out those in phases, given that there are differences in the technologies. So we'll have to do engineering for each. But we're pursuing all of them right now.
One of the other things you mentioned was the engineering piece. You talked about the pilots a little bit. What's going on with the engineering piece to make this work?
The Defense Information Systems Agency and the National Security Agency are working together with industry to come up with methods of moving these credentials or putting new credentials derived from the CAC card credentials onto these mobile devices securely. Again, each technology uses a different approach, so there is integration engineering that's happening, and then there are security issues that are different from each technology, and so the engineering group is working through those one by one.
The idea of moving to derived credentials is something that's been around for a while. DOD has tried the CAC reader through Bluetooth, the SLED, the SMEPED, all the different devices to try to get security. Why is derived the right one now versus why weren't any of the other ones the right one then?
Having a separate SLED with the mobile device was always a problem in the sense that when I would use them, the battery would be dead when I would need it, or I would have trouble pairing it or something like that, or I just wouldn't have it at the point that I needed it. So people struggled with that, but we did not have a good way to put the private key in this cryptographic credential into a mobile device and protect that private key strongly. We believe that the technology vendors have been working this problem and they have stronger ways to protect that private key than they've ever had. And we believe the strength is there now for general use of this derived credential approach.
This is in some ways a calculated risk that DOD is taking. Is the buy-in from not just the security folks but the mission folks, is that where this push is coming from, the mission side, because they want to be able to use more mobile devices? We heard, where is that push coming from, the fact that security is caught up or the mission side just is so demanding?
There is strong demand for mobile from all parts of the Department of Defense. We see almost unlimited possibilities to improve our ability to execute mission and improve efficiency with mobile devices and do better collaboration with partners. So this is mission driven. We in the security business have been trying to work with industry to get the security to the point where we think we can depend on the security of these devices for important DOD missions. So we think we're there.
So I was talking to Richard Hale, the DoD Deputy CIO for Cybersecurity, yesterday after he moderated a panel at the FCO Washington D.C. chapter Cybersecurity Summit that happened in Washington.
Sounds like they had quite a crowd there.
They had a huge crowd. It was something like 600-700 people.
Wow.
And they had a really great lineup of guests too. Now, DoD has been working on this issue, the merging of mobility and cybersecurity, for the better part of 18 months, and maybe actually close to even 2 years before they come to this final decision that Hale just talked about. In fact, our colleague Jared Serbu, Tom, wrote about the first set of pilots back in November 2013. So that just gives you a sense of, and here we are 2015, of where they're at. Now, what's different this time is Hale's certainty that the derived credential, which is basically means that the phone holds a piece of software to authenticate the user to the network. So instead of having that second piece, if you will, that piece lives inside a secure compartment in the phone. But Hale believes that is good enough for widespread use across DoD. Hale says DoD has looked at 7 or 8 different approaches to this problem and seems to finally have settled on a path forward. Now, let's be clear, it's not one approach because all the mobile devices are different, whether they are Windows or BlackBerry or Apple or Android, but it's a way to at least issue these derived credentials. And if DoD can accept this approach, it really does open the door to all the other agencies. Roger Clark is the acting Chief Information Security Officer at the Commerce Department. He says mobility for commerce remains one of his biggest challenges.
With a lot of international travel and stuff that is required to support the executives and other missions of the department, that's another thing that we're trying to fight that battle on. How do we provide that secure mission assurance for our executives when they travel overseas?
So I think, as you can see by Clark's comments, finding a solution for mobility and security really is paramount to almost every agency.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So just a moment, getting back to that derived token or that derived identity from the phone, then you would also need a password so that there would be two-factor authentication in that manner, I guess. Is that the way that's set up?
Correct, but the password would just get you into the phone, and then when the phone reached back to the network, meaning the DoD network or the agency network, that's where the derived credential would kick in. So, right, it is considered two-factor, but the derived credential is much stronger than any password, because currently either you can't access the network or the only way to access it is through a secure VPN tunnel, and that doesn't work very well with the mobile phones or many tablet-type computers.
No, it sure doesn't, from experience. All right, so is this cybersecurity challenge stopping defense services and agencies from getting out of the BlackBerry era?
No, I think as Hale summed it up, you know, the mission and program areas really are driving this need for greater mobile, more capable mobile devices. And we've talked a lot about these pilots, you know, they've been tests around Apple iPhones or iPads or Android and Windows devices. And while some agencies can worry maybe a little bit less about cybersecurity, DoD, even agencies such as Homeland Security, Justice, really haven't made those major strides across, you know, like you think they would by now. Let me just give you one example. The Navy, for instance, they're recognizing this mobile imperative, as I'll call it, and they're taking the plunge this summer just as DoD is finalizing the security approach. John Zangardi is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Command, Control, Computers, Intelligence, Information Operations, and Space.
Increasing mobility in the department is a major concern for us right now. N2, N6 on the Navy side has stood up a mobility IPT, which the United States Marine Corps is participating in. So we're trying to find ways of bringing increased mobility to all of the users of our network. There's a lot of ideas on the table. Some of them cost money. Some of them involve procedures. We have to sort through those and make sure that we're not inflicting inordinate costs to achieve something or that we're not increasing our security risk. So mobility's out there is a major demand signal that I get. When I was out in Guam in Japan back in early February, that was the clear demand signal that we're getting from our senior leaders out in the fleet. They want more mobility. They view their smart device as a command and control device. And it's very important for them to have that capability in their hands that gives them a broad range of options, but yet retains security.
Now, Zangardi says the Navy is moving to new mobile devices, starting with Apple's iOS and then Android later on. He says they plan to deploy about 28,000 devices by the end of the year.
It's on our NMCI network. We still have to sort out how we're going to do it on our overseas network known as OneNet and also on our IT21 network. So we have some work there. We're beginning the initial buildup of the infrastructure. Some of it's in place in the major sites, Washington Navy Yard, Norfolk, San Diego, Bremerton, Pearl Harbor, and Jacksonville are the major sites where we're going to put in the infrastructure.
Now, Zangardi says the new mobile devices will be more capable in the mission and program areas, and that's key here. Now, over the National Security Agency, Sally Holcomb is the deputy CIO, and she says mobile or not, the challenge is around protecting the data while ensuring mission agility. In some ways, that's what DOD is talking about here as well. She says the big challenge for the NSA is data management and data governance. The cloud could help with some of those. You know, the intelligence community is moving to the iSight cloud, the shared services. But those still, you still need to secure the data. And that's where she says is where the cloud comes in, because you can secure it at what she calls the object layer, or really attaching roles and responsibilities to the data. Holcomb says NSA is struggling with the concept of encryption data or using data rights management software, but still making the information discoverable to analysts and collectors. It's kind of the best of both worlds. It's secure, but still discoverable.
And I guess, Jason, a lot of people are putting data in such a way, we're not putting data on the mobile device itself. You can view it, but when you leave that site or leave that application, leave that app, there's no more data in there. And so if someone gets the phone and the app is there and they don't have the right credentials, it doesn't do anything for them.
Correct. And I think that's been the solution all along, but that's still is very limiting. It's kind of like a PDF. You can read it, but you can't change it. And if there needs to be a change, you got to wait till you get back to your desktop or to a secure computer and then make the change. And what I think what's happening, as you heard Dr. Zangardi say, is they want a command and control. Well, to do command and control, it's got to be more than just read. You got to, if you will, take the old terms, Tom, read and write.
So basically they need wireless, more than wireless terminals. They need thick clients that are mobile, basically.
Well, I don't think they would want thick clients. Nobody wants thick clients anymore. But what they want to do is find the happy medium between what is secure and what can you do that you can get the most capabilities out of with a mobile device. I mean, they've made some great strides with laptops, if you think about it. But again, those laptops usually are plugged into a network or a VPN in, and they can do a lot more than these phones or tablets can do for the most part.
All right, lots of considerations. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. We thank you for that report.
Thank you, Tom.